That's right, right here, right now, everybody. Welcome to the Freedom Times News Hour, sponsored by the Freedom Times newspaper and AmericanFreedomNews.us. It's great to have your company. I'm Patricia Aiken, still a.k.a. Sweaty Betty, the Garden Gal, with Mr. Don Wassel, founder and editor of the Freedom Times. Howdy, Don.
Hey, Patricia. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good, man. I got a lot accomplished this morning. We even burned some brush pile that's been out there for a year. And I got some biochar out of it to put in my garden. Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, pretty darn good. Hey, listen, let's give out the number for call-ins today. It's area code 512-248-8252. We hope people will call and join the conversation. And if you have to, there's a toll-free number, 800-313-9443. But you can also run over to the chat room. That's thefreedomtimes.chattango.com. And there's a great message in there from Prester John, 1729. It's very cool, about where the word maverick comes from. I had no idea, and I live in cattle country. It's very cool. So take a look. You'll see the link.
Now I have to go there. You got me.
That's right. Doggone it. You got to go look, because it's a cool word. Very cool word. I had no idea where that came from. So,
all right.
So, what's been going on with you?
Not much. I mean, we do have a special guest today. We haven't been able to reach him apparently. So, if he does get online, we'll give him a good introduction. If not, I guess we'll chit chat and maybe some people can call in and join the conversation. You know, there's so much. It's hard to even say what's going on, at least in the world. In the country, I mean, there's so much going on, it's hard to even pick an issue. I mean, there's so much going on, it's kind of, you know, it all just flies by, part of it is deliberately, you know, they want us to just focus on a crisis for 5 minutes, and then there's another crisis, and this and that, and, you know, nobody's supposed to just sit back.
Keep us on overwhelm.
Yeah, nobody's supposed to sit back and contemplate what's going on, why, what the best things for themselves and their family and their life and the country are, you know, it's just this endless blur of propaganda and lies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw, and I think it was, well, it was a speech by Putin that had been translated. And it, I mean, it was great. I mean, he was saying exactly what was going on in the West. You know, the demoralization, you know, just the complete meltdown of our culture and societies.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's pointed out how the communism in the Soviet Union back in the, you know, over a century ago when it started and until it finally collapsed or deliberately or otherwise. But some of the same insanity that's going on in this country with the promotion of homosexuality and transgender and grooming kids and, you know, endless pornography everywhere and degradation and demoralization. I mean, that's a standard tactic of communism, and which is something I've been saying for quite a while, that this is a communist country that Americans mm-hmm. live in now. It's a globalist country. It's not a purely communist country, but it has a lot of the same tactics and methods. And, of course, communism is nothing if not a totalitarian form of rule. And we certainly are there. If we're not, we're very close. I think more and more people do refer to this country as authoritarian or totalitarian, which would be shocking to Americans up to 10, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, we were aware that things were going in the wrong direction, but nobody said that this was an unfree totalitarian country, and yet I think a lot of Americans are realizing that's exactly what we have now. It's a very sad and shocking state of affairs.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting to me is I remember being a child in parochial school and how the nuns would say that in Russia they tell their people propaganda.
Yeah. Well, the great thing, Patricia, is that, and I've relayed this many times, and I'm sure you probably remember too, when we were growing up, starting from when we were kids and for a long, long time, that was the thing. You know, we always bragged about the freedom of speech we had here in the First Amendment, and in the communist countries, they couldn't tell the truth. They just whispered it to each other, you know, in bars or just in, you know, among confidants, close friends and things like that, but nobody would dare say the truth out loud because they were afraid of the repercussions. And that's exactly where we are now.
Right, exactly. And Mr. Biden is going to enact the most comprehensive anti-Semitic bill history.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, but well, you're not supposed to. Don't put two and two together. You know, don't try and figure that one out. Why that's being introduced? You know.
Right. Well, you know, that's the first thing the Bolsheviks did when they came to power is they made criticism of the Jews a capital crime, and then they went on a just outrageous killing spree.
Yes,
of white Russians.
Yep, same happened in China, and I'm sure there's factions in this country that would like to do the same thing if they thought they could get away with it. But their preferred MO is just to use various forms of punishment, doxing people, taking away their jobs and professions, humiliating them, and things like that. Although, you know, you look what's happened to the J6 people that were there. I mean, that's certainly, they're not being murdered, but they're being tortured and being treated inhumanely. That's for darn sure, and there's no end in sight to it. So,
yeah, can you imagine Stuart Rhodes getting 18 years? And he never even went into the Capitol. Now, I'm not a fan of Stuart Rhodes, but, you know, I'm not after, you know, the things that I've learned about him, but nobody deserves 18 years, you know, for a protest.
Well, and what comes out, of course, is just like with the Proud Boys. I mean, half the ones that were there were feds. You know, it was heavily infiltrated.
Right.
I mean, it's just a farce, you know. They infiltrate and trap these people in these groups, and then they persecute them afterwards. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on. It's just hard to believe how far downhill this country's gone.
Good Bolshevism.
Well, I think we got a caller, don't we, Patricia? Bill in Oregon?
Oh, hello, Bill. Hey, Bill. That's Bill May. Hey, Bill. Welcome to the show today.
Yeah, that one guy you were talking about, I can't remember his name, and he was accused of seditious conspiracy, I think it was.
Yeah, Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah, and I've looked at a lot of the stuff that they've done. The attorneys are corrupt and are incompetent, both, generally. What the attorneys are not doing is looking at the intent of the law. What they're doing is they're just pleading not guilty to the charges rather than going and looking at legislative intent. In other words, what did the legislature intend this law to cover and not cover? In this case, what Stuart Rhodes was accused of did not rise to the level of seditious conspiracy. But the attorneys would never address that.
Well, just look at the venue. That's the big problem, though. It's in Washington, D.C., with extreme left-wing judges, extreme left-wing prosecutors, and then they have a jury pool. Anytime they need a jury, they're going to pick mostly black Democrats who hate Trump and anybody who's accused of supporting Trump. So, I mean, these guys go in with both hands tied behind their back. They have no chance. They can just pick and choose whoever they want to persecute and go after them.
But it still comes down to, did the legislature, Congress in this case, allow the law to be, authorize the law to be used as it's being used? And that's never even
addressed. I agree.
What can you do about it, though?
What you do is you go and you look up legislative intent. The Supreme Court has talked about this. You go and look and find out what was said on the House floor when it was being passed, or you go back when they were discussing it, to find out what Congress said, and this works on the state level as well. What was the intent of the legislature when the bill was being discussed and passed? What was its purpose? And if it's being used outside of that, it's being used unconstitutionally. Attorneys appear not to be taught this, and so they're just pleading people out on offenses that the law didn't even allow the person to be prosecuted for. They shouldn't be pleading not guilty. They should be pleading demurrer on the basis that the law is not being used in compliance with its intent.
That's an excellent point, Bill.
Yeah, but how's it going to get anywhere in D.C. with what I pointed out? It's not, they'll just laugh in your face if you point those things out.
Okay, then you take that to the U.S. Supreme Court, because the U.S. Supreme Court has discussed this in detail. I've read about it in the past. Legislative intent is what rules the law, not what some corrupt DA says, because they're corrupt and they will twist it to use whatever they can, because the attorneys are incompetent. They know they're incompetent, and they never bother to look at what the legislature said the law could be used for.
And yeah. Okay, well, start us from the beginning, Bill. So Stuart Rhodes is charged with this. Where would he go to check the legislative intent for this, for seditious?
What he would do is go back and he could look at the wording of the statute. That's the first place. And if it does not lend itself to the application, he could file a demur on the basis the law is not being used in compliance. The second thing that you do is you go back and look at what was said at the time it was being passed. Was there any discussion on it? What was it? What did Congress say that it was to do? If this is not clear, you go back when the law was being written and read what the law was intended to accomplish. And in this case, simply going after somebody because they disagreed with the government does not rise to seditious conspiracy. And the Supreme Court has spelled out exactly as I just worded it. The Supreme Court has spelled it out. This is what you do. And it's called legislative intent.
Perfect.
Well, what do you do when the entire judicial system has been weaponized and politicized? I mean, the Supreme Court is not, you could have the best arguments in the world, but the Supreme Court's not going to hear the appeal.
I don't necessarily agree with that at this time. What happens is what I'm seeing, and I'm using the gun laws as an example, no state authorized any gun laws. Hang on just a second, please. I'm on the phone. Okay. No state constitution authorizes any gun laws to be imposed upon the citizens of the states. Okay. Some states, such as Oregon and others, come out in their Bill of Rights and clearly state that there shall be no gun laws. We've got gun laws. The federal government is not authorized to impose any gun laws on the citizens of the states, because a right secured on a state level supersedes Congress's ability to regulate it. That is the highest right. Okay. So what they've done is they changed the whole court system to only apply to non-whites. They closed the original court system, judicial branch courts, 70 years or so ago, and they brought in legislative branch courts, just like you have in D.C. They operate under a completely different system of law. So what they've done then is they've written all these laws, gun laws, that only apply to non-whites. They apply to citizens of the United States, the federal citizens. They don't apply to the citizens of the states. Okay. Nobody knows to go in and deny being a federal citizen, so they just go ahead and process them accordingly. When the attorneys, if you look at all the cases that have gone before the U.S. Supreme Court on the gun laws, the attorneys always go in, it's a violation of due process by the 14th Amendment, it's a violation of the Second Amendment. Okay. Well, the moment they do that, it goes into the ability of the federal government to regulate it. It's a poorly drafted, it's a flawed suit to begin with. And so the federal government, the U.S. Supreme Court, then rules on the basis that somebody is coming before them claiming that the rights of federal citizens are being violated, and the U.S. Supreme Court has stated that federal citizens have no right to own guns. No one ever goes in and states up front that this is being brought on behalf of a person who is only a citizen of their state and not a citizen of the United States. And as per their constitution, they have the right to own guns without restriction. And we're claiming that that right is being violated. They never do that. The attorneys don't do it. They're not taught anything about this. And the gun cases always fail. It's the way the case is brought forward.
And I've read some of the gun cases, Bill, where it says, where they're saying, well, see, they were restricting gun use. But when you look at it, it was restriction on private property. And it was because they didn't want people hunting on their property. And so the people that own the property had a right to say, you can't bring guns on my property to hunt on my property. It wasn't that you couldn't bring a gun to protect yourself. Am I seeing that clearly?
Okay, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with that. A property owner has a right to place restrictions on what you can bring into the property. Okay, but what I've seen with the gun cases is, ultimately, and the Supreme Court has roundabout addressed it, that they always go back to, when it comes to the right to own guns, they always go back and address federal law. And under current federal law, you have the right to do this, 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 but you don't have the right to do that. Okay, the case is always brought before the U.S. Supreme Court as if on the basis of federal citizens which have no gun rights. It's really a corrupt, treasonous game. And when it comes to the
case, do you think that the law schools were taken over, Bill?
I think they were taken over around 1950 or before, so we don't have any attorneys anymore that even understand the two classes of citizens. I mean, they just literally are totally incompetent. You can't, if you're going
to... Yes, it is treasonous.
If you're going to take on a gun case, you can't use an attorney. Now, I've started one, and if anybody wants to take a look at it, I think it would be a real eye-opener because it goes in right up front where you've got two individuals in this case, if I ever get it filed, where you've got two individuals and the first thing they do is deny being a citizen of the United States or a foreign alien. They deny being anything other than a citizen of their state. And their state constitution says this, and they're suing for damages because these rights, they've been deprived of these rights under this conspiracy.
Right, and claiming that, you know, Mer Bailey sent me an excellent recording. It was about an woman, I forget her name. Oh, Sarah was her name. It was a mom. And she, her and her husband had both had affidavits that they'd sent, I believe, to their Secretary of State saying that they weren't U.S. citizens. They were, you know, they were just state nationals. And it's what was on the... it's on the Secretary of State for passports and things like that. And they use that. Oh, here's a break. We'll come back after the break and finish this up. Stay with us, Bill. Stay with us, everybody.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
We're back. I think we are. Oh, yeah, we're back. This is the Freedom Times News Hour. I'm Don Wassel, your co-host, along with Patricia Aiken. And for the rest of this hour, we have a special guest who is Sidney Secular. Sid graduated from the State University of New York at Stony Brook in 1962 with a BA in history and a minor in education. He was employed for over 35 years as a contracting officer and procurement analyst with several military and civilian government agencies, including the Small Business Administration. He served in the military and the Army Reserves and the National Guard. Sidney Secular has been very active in immigration restriction movements since the 1970s. He joined American Renaissance, Jared Taylor's pro-white movement, and the Council of Conservative Citizens in the early 1990s. He served as the chapter director for the Mid-Atlantic chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens since 2007, after the death of the late, great Sam Francis. He was managing editor of the Citizens Informer, the CFCC's membership, or that's their membership newspaper. He was the managing editor for 5 years and is currently on the board of directors and is the national secretary for that organization. He has written articles for many publications and websites, including the Freedom Times newspaper. And if you are a subscriber of the Freedom Times, you know that in every issue there's at least one article by Sid, and sometimes more than one. And he's also the founder and editor of the Freedom Movement Action newsletter, which has been publishing since 2014. So with that said, Sid, are you there? Welcome. Sid.
Yes, you outlined my background very well. I also, among my clients and customers, I especially help inmates to obtain literature which they cannot otherwise get, and, you know, they're frozen out of learning about what's going on in the world except what the institutions want to indoctrinate them with, which is kind of very important. Some of these inmates also produce their own newsletters if they're knowledgeable enough in the subject area, and they have me print and mail their newsletters, so I provide a service that they could not otherwise take advantage of. I wanted to say a little bit about the newsletter. It's now over 40-some-odd pages, and it's growing. And there's various features in it, and because it's getting so voluminous, I'm going to create two newsletters very shortly, one of which will feature news with, well, news you may have missed type material, which are roughly half-page synopses of current events that are very important and not reported in the mainstream media, and for which I have a different take or angle on whatever they're reporting in the first place, and covering up everything, as we well know. And the other newsletter will be of unlimited length and will be available by email and will consist of essays and articles that you could print out the whole thing, or you can print out those articles you're interested in, and that will allow us to cover anything we want to and not worry about length. And I think we'll get that going within the next 2 months or so. So, and if you want a sample of what the current newsletter looks like, I'm very willing to send it to you. You know, if you provide your information, I can do it via email, or I can mail it to you. My email would be sidsecular1@aol.com. That's sidsecular1@aol.com. Or my address would be P.O. Box 7753, Silver Spring, Maryland 20907. That's Box 7753, Silver Spring, MD 20907. I'm in the midst of mailing my current issue right now, and I very well can add you to the list of people getting a copy. So I think you will enjoy it, and it's a different take on, it's a different style from what you've seen in other places. It's more of a wordplay type of approach to things that keep things interesting and concise. So with that...
Okay, we can get back to that.
That's it. Okay.
Let me ask a question or two, okay?
Sure.
All right, you've I think you've written about this, but we'll get back to your newsletter and that information again later in the show. But I want to ask some questions. That's why you're here. Where did you grow up, and what kind of neighborhood was it, and how has it changed since then?
Well, I grew up in the heart of Brooklyn, New York, which was invaded by the Puerto Rican contingent in the late 40s and 50s. So my parents moved to the far suburbs and tried to stay one step ahead of the advancing multitudes. So we moved to Suffolk County, which was 50, 60, 70 miles east of New York, where there was little development. And but you can only go so far. And the reach of the...
All right, I'll tell you what, Sid, we got to hold it right there. We got another break coming up. Hear the music, which means we're going to break. This is the Freedom Times News Hour. I'm Don Wassel. We're talking to Sidney Secular. Patricia Aiken is here, too. She's taking a break from farming. So we'll be back after these important messages.
Freedom talks about revolution when it's already passed by.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
A
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Be alive.
Right here, right now, we're back at Republic Broadcasting. This is the Freedom Times News Hour. I'm Patricia with Don Wassel and our guest, Mr. Sid Secular. Don, you had a question for Sid at the break.
Sid was telling us about the neighborhood he grew up in Brooklyn and how it changed. And I thought you did live in Brooklyn. That's why one reason I brought it up, because the latest issue of Heritage and Destiny, which comes out of the mother country in England. In fact, the co-editor, Peter Rushton, we had him as a guest a few weeks ago. But the new issue has a great article about racial replacement that took place in the author's Brooklyn neighborhood over time. It's written by Jack Antonio, and he wrote about how the starting in the 1950s, the whites in his Brooklyn neighborhood, they stuck together and they fought really hard for a long time to keep their neighborhood the way they wanted it. But they eventually lost out to the non-whites, a process, of course, which has been repeated everywhere in the country over the past two generations. First, it was the Puerto Ricans, and then later the blacks in his neighborhood. So my question is a long-winded one. How doesn't seem today that there's much will or even interest among white people when it comes to standing up for their interests? And or is that changing now, given that the Great Replacement is in full throttle and seems to be nearing its desired end goal of replacing white people and eradicating our heritage? Or Sid Secular, do you see more white Americans finally looking around and beginning to see through the fog of propaganda that's been blasted at us all the time? And are they starting to see the bigger picture of what's going on?
I think we're seeing it here and there. It's going to be increasingly apparent as time goes on. These things start slowly and they build normally, or either that or they happen all at once, and it's apparently not happening that way. But I see evidence of it here and there. There's little groups that are forming, and there's various blog sites that cater to that kind of conception. And I think we're going to see increasingly a voluminous amount of that over time, to a point where it'll become almost overwhelming and will kind of be the way of the future before that long, hopefully. It's the way to go, you know. It's the way for whites to go. So,
you know, you wrote...
But Sid, can I ask a question?
Sure.
You know, the Biden administration, whoever his handlers are, They have said that white supremacy is the number one problem facing our country today. I mean, and that's any white that stands up for themselves. And they can't, they bend over backwards. They show that all these violent criminals, and you look, and they're not white, but they list them as white when they're obviously non-white, facially, you know, and also by their name. And the recent, you know, truck thing at the White House, oh, that was a white supremacist. Anything but a white supremacist. So, what do you think about this?
Well, they think they can get away with anything. They've gotten away with everything they've tried. If they didn't get their way immediately, they keep on hammering at it, and eventually they do. So they think they can do that, and people will just go along with it. If you repeat something often enough, it gets to be believed, no matter how crazy it is. That's just the way things are, and it's especially true with the media, which has nothing else in mind except to persistently push their agenda. You know, they're not going to give up. There's no way they're going to change. They'd be too embarrassed to just completely change or change overnight.
Yeah, the left never gives up. I mean, that's the number one characteristic of the left, and you have to admire it. I mean, they never give up. Sid, you wrote a lengthy article recently called The Specter of White Genocide, and I ran that in five parts in the Freedom Times not too long ago, and generally it seemed pessimistic, as a lot of your writing seems to be, at least to me. As someone who's always been very active yourself, I mean, do you try to lay out just how bad things are in order to spur more people to action, to do more than just sit around and complain?
Well, you just keep on hammering at it. You know, when you get emails and it shows some obvious ignorance or an ability or a tendency to kind of skirt around a racial issue, you just have to kind of bring it back front and center, you know. That's one way to do it, and you just have to use psychology and persistence in order to do it. I don't think I was all that completely pessimistic about everything. I think there's just different alternatives that are available to us and that are going to be presented more and more as time goes on. We have to form our own little communities and networks where we can support ourselves in business matters and social matters, and we should be meeting in each other's homes or in venues where we can attract people so we can socialize, because that's what's necessary to really make the movement expand outwards. And there's, you know, we have different organizations, you know, our membership organizations, or we should establish them anyway if we don't have them. Anybody could get something going if they really have a mind to. You know, some people will be afraid and they won't do it, but there's always a handful that will, you know, they just plow ahead and do it. We just need a small number of people, a small percentage of population, of the white population anyway, to push the issue, and then we will gradually, you know, take over. That's not the right word, maybe, but, you know, our influence will be greatly felt, and we'll gradually survive and get our way over a period of time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, people are fixated, again, here we go, 2024, and it's all about which... you know, is it going to be the so-called conservative Republican, or, you know, another left-wing Democrat, or that, you know, senile Comrade Joe reelected? And the truth is, no matter who gets in the White House, and we're always disappointed. You can look at graphs of the increase in the national debt or this or that, and you can't tell when a Republican was in the White House and when a Democrat was. It's a uniparty. But of course, the media always whips up this beauty show that everybody's supposed to be involved in. And of course, now, as long as Trump's around, he's going to be the center of attention. And I agree with you, and it's what I've been saying for quite a while. I mean, people should keep track of that, maybe get involved a little bit. But they have to, if they're not getting involved locally, they're missing the bigger picture and the more important thing, because we have to consolidate by networking, by trying to gain power in our communities and maybe even in states, that we already have a lot of power in, or take power. I mean, the fact is that the conservative people, the people that supported Trump, are scattered throughout the countryside. They're in the suburbs, they're in small towns, they're out in the farms and ranches, but they're not organized or organizing. And so the left, which is congregated in the cities, the urban areas, they effortlessly continue to have all the power. So I agree with you completely that we need to be doing things locally, building networks and trying to gain political power locally, instead of fixating on, you know, when's the man on the white horse going to get in the White House, whether it's DeSantis or Trump or somebody else. I mean, it's just not going to happen, right?
That's right. And you can't just jump into running for president if you had no experience in politics before, like Pat Buchanan did, you know, or what's his name, the guy who was fighting NAFTA all the time, Russ Perot. You know, he just can't jump in there, even though you're a businessman or a big wheel. You just have to kind of work through the system. And any little victory builds on itself. Anything that's impressive to people will gradually make them more likely to join in the effort and perhaps get these voting procedures changed, because that's the biggest impediment right now to going ahead, and that can be done at local levels, and it is being done to an extent, but not enough to change what's going to happen in the next election, but we can gradually work at that.
Can I be the naysayer? I don't think we're going to fix the system. And I think fixing the system gives all our power away to it. We need to remove ourselves from it. Like Bill May was saying, it finally realized that there's two classes of citizens. We're not under the federal law. And start creating, you know, what Jake Jackson says, a natural law republic. And go for those voters and stop putting all our energy into trying to fix something that's unfixable.
I think that's another route to go. There's various secession movements going on, like the state of Texas is making noises, as they say, to become a republic once more, and they're going to vote on that in the near future, actually. And there's various movements in the upper northwest for counties and Oregon to join Idaho. That's more small stuff, but once something like that gets started, then people start thinking, well, we can actually do something about the situation, and you never know where it's going to lead to. So you have to just take baby steps sometimes, you know.
Whatever works, you know, whatever works, try all different.
I mean, there was a movement by Harold Covington at one point. I don't know if you're familiar with that. He wanted to start a white country called the Northwest American Republic, which would encompass Washington State, Oregon, Idaho, and part of Montana. Even though the leftists control the coasts, we would gradually move them out somehow or another. And to have a country of your own, you need access to water, to ports, and commerce. So, you know, that was the idea behind that. If you had an access on the Pacific coast or the Gulf coast or wherever it might be, you can't get yourself locked into the middle of the country, which is one proposal, you know, that you can get yourself surrounded and can't do anything. You have to think of the logistics of the situation. So that apparently there were some people that reacted to that effort, but not enough to really get it snowballing. And then the person, Harold Covington, who started the whole effort, he passed away in the middle of 2018. So the effort kind of died right there, but it was a really good effort. And he had actually developed a constitution for his Northwest American Republic, and he's written five novels of 600-700 pages each, fictionalized accounts of how it could be accomplished. They're not available on Amazon anymore, but they are available through downloading a particular link that I can give to people who are interested in it. It just gives you ideas for accomplishing something like this.
The libertarians have done this for a while too. They've been promoting in New Hampshire. And, of course, New Hampshire's now gone liberal for the most part. It's just, you know, it hasn't really gained traction, unfortunately. I think we have to... You can't expect everybody just to pick up and move. I mean, some people can, but a lot of people can't. We have to stand our ground and network and do things where we live. Yeah, got to fight where we live for the most part.
And I think having an area like, you know, a section, that just makes us a target. And it would be easy for the feds to hold.
True,
thing.
That's true.
I mean, it would just central, you know.
Yep. Yep, we need to be here, there, and everywhere.
You just have to try everything, a little bit of this and that, you know, see what works.
We know this whole thing. I mean, when we've seen the counterpart to the left that was very effective, just with the whole uproar over Bud Light and the tranny they had promoting Bud Light beer, and then Target with their apparently Satanists designing their so-called pride outfits for the upcoming unbearable month of June, which is just about here, when it's going to be pride. Every corporation's going to have their pride flag out and pushing this.
But the thing is that could mushroom. Target,
right.
Now is, Target stores are the target of a boycott. I think boycotts are
right.
A very effective way
exactly.
to go.
That's what I'm saying. But we'll have staying power. This is what always happens, though. The left keeps doing what they're doing. We'll get a victory here and there, and then everybody that, you know, will clap and cheer, and then that's the end of it. You know, the momentum isn't kept.
Goes back to sleep.
Well, I think people are saying that they can have an effect, and so it might spread to other stores, you know, with their crazy campaigns.
Well, it needs to. It needs to.
Someone said that, you know, those stores are all ultimately controlled by, you know, Vanguard and BlackRock, and they have an agenda that you have to participate in that, and it doesn't matter. But, I mean, they'll go out of business. I mean, if we keep pressing, that the light was a dollar. And
well, once one of these
couldn't give it away.
Yeah,
you're fading in and out, Patricia. At least in my end.
If you get one of these giants to capitulate, all the other ones just might do it too. You know,
it won't be that easy. You gotta get their stock going down, which is what happened with Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, and Target. That's the way. I mean, these corporations, they're all just swimming in money. There's so much silly money in this country right now from, you know, the oligarchs and the 1% and the corporations. They just have more money than they know what to do with in fiat dollars. So you hear that expression, go woke, go broke. And that can be true, but you got to really hurt the bottom line before that can happen. So that's why I'm saying, you know, we got to concentrate and keep at it and go after them one by one. Because come June 1, every single corporation will have changed their logo to a pride logo. And they're going to force that stuff on us for an entire month again.
We can establish small business or go to them instead of the big stores. I think there's a book out that gives you information on that subject right now that's being sold. That, you know, I don't recall the circumstances of it.
Gab is trying to build a parallel economy. I mean, there's people, a lot of people working at it. They just there's a lot of initiatives going on. It's just more people need to get involved themselves.
Well, you know, we could form cooperatives among ourselves. You know, there's ways around it. If we don't hurt them, if they continue anyway, we could go on our way and do our thing and separate from them eventually, like we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, things can happen very quickly, too. I mean, I was just looking at some of the articles I posted on AmericanFreedomNews.us today, and a couple of them are right along. Just looking at the headlines, there are things we've already talked about. I mean, most Americans still waiting for a white knight to save them, rethinking globalization.
Well,
and the top article is what to do and why it matters. I mean, you know, so we are getting the information out there. It's just a matter of people taking up the cudgel, if you want to put it that way. And, you know, you got to become an activist. If you're not an activist yourself, then the enemy is winning, period.
Well, we need alternatives in the media and blog sites and this and that and the other thing. Elon Musk was supposed to be like a great white hope, and he disappointed us by deplatforming a bunch of people who were prominent in our movement all in one day, the same day that Tucker Carlson was let go. So, I mean, somebody who has more power than Elon Musk, or a group of people, is more powerful than he is, even though he's the richest person in the world. There's always somebody above who you think is number one.
Right.
so bad.
I like him, though. I admire him for the most part. I mean, I think just buying Twitter and to the extent he's made it a free speech forum again, I think he deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he stuck his neck out, you know, and that's not – he could have just sat back and been like these other oligarchs. On, you know, oh, I got $50 billion. I'm not going to say or do anything that might cause me some problems.
He's publicizing the idea that we can have alternative media. That's the important thing right there, you know, that we should have it, that we could have it if we wanted to.
Well, and he's got a little alliance going with Tucker Carlson, and you know, which I think is important because Tucker is a very important person right now. I think he's more important than Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis, in my opinion.
Well, he's supposedly going on his own and going to pursue what he's doing in a much more magnified way, which is really what we need.
Yep, yeah. So he can't be controlled by Fox News. You know, he can be at least a little more free to say what he wants to say. And I know some people might think he's not hardcore enough or this and that, but I think Tucker Carlson, the last few years, you couldn't hover over the target any more effectively than what he's done.
His popularity shows that he goes beyond what other people say, and people really go for it. And it might not be completely 100% what we want, but everything works in increments, and we get it. You know, we could get there. You know,
right? By pushing absolutely. At
it, you know.
And yep. By the way, the call number is 512-248-8252. We're talking with Sidney Secular, the writer and activist, and the founder and editor of the Freedom. What is it? The Freedom.
Freedom Movement Action Newsletter.
Okay, I'll tell you what, while I don't know if we're getting another break coming up or not, but while we got you, and I just mentioned it, why don't you give out the information again, Sid, on how the people can subscribe. Sid?
Yeah.
How can people subscribe to the Freedom
Action Newsletter? Okay. Yes, I'll send a sample copy at no cost to anybody. Just send me a letter.
Wait, I'll tell you what. That's the first thing. When we get back from the break, we got one more break, and we'll give that out as soon as we get back. We're talking with Sid Secular. I'm Don Wassel, and you're on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay right there.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
And we are back. You're listening to the Freedom Times News Hour, our final segment. I'm Don Wassel. Co-host is Patricia Aiken. I think there's a storm taking place in Nevada right now. Believe it or not, it does storm occasionally in Nevada. I lived there for 6 years, and I can attest to that. Not very often, but it does rain and even storm there sometimes. So apparently Patricia's having a bit of technical difficulty because of that. We are talking to Sidney Secular, who is the founder and editor of the Freedom Movement. I don't know why. Freedom Movement Action Newsletter. I don't know why. I subscribe to it. I love it. I don't know why I mangle the name so often. But, Sid, we only got a couple of minutes left. So quickly before we get to any more questions, why don't you give out the subscription information to anybody listening who might be interested?
I'll be changing the price for my newsletter since I'm changing the nature of the newsletter, but you will get a very good idea of what my newsletter is all about if you get a copy of the current issue, and you can do that by sending me an email and giving me your contact information to S-I-D-S-E-C-U-L-A-R, Sid Secular, with a one after it, at AOL.com, or writing to me at P.O. Box 7753, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20907. Either way, I'm prepared to make a copy for you and send it out right away. And okay. The current issue is 47 pages, so you can see the effort that goes into it.
Yeah, and you get a lot of help from Valerie Protopapas, who
co-editor, Valerie Protopapas, who is an editor in her own right, who had her own newsletters. She's very active in Southern and Confederate issues, and she knows everything about everything otherwise anyway. And she's an editor. She has a lot of quality and gravitas, you might say, to the newsletter.
Very knowledgeable lady, for sure, like you are in your right, your own right. So that's Sidney Secular, P.O. Box 7753, Silver Spring, Maryland, M.D. 20907. So write to Sid and get a copy of this.
By the way, I just had one comment. The music you play in the background is called How Long? And the words are, how long will this be going on? Which is very apropos to what we're talking about.
That's why we use it.
Oh, is exactly that right? Very good.
Our guest has been Sid Secular. Thank you, Sid, so much for being on. We'll have to do it again. This is Don Wassel. And on behalf of Patricia Aiken, we say thank you for listening in. And we hope to have you again on the podcast next week at this time. Take care, everybody.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.